Welcome. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to New City Church. Good to see your eyes. Let's pray. Let's begin our worship service by asking the Lord to bless our time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for times set apart to gather around your word, because your word gives us life. It restores our hope. It forgives our sins. Your word is the gospel. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would apply it to our hearts and our minds, all the benefits of knowing Christ today. We thank you for this week. Thank you that we could be here today. And we ask that you would bless us. And Holy Spirit, lead us in all the words we confess and all the words we hear read and spoken about and all the things we do around the Lord's Supper. Would you engage us and lead us and bless all these things way beyond what we could ever expect or do on our own? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let's begin on page D. We'll do the prayer of confession. And I just want to say, I'm never going to stop doing this. So if it ever becomes rote to you, it's not my problem. That's a you problem. And you need to say, Lord, why is this rote to me? And it's because you have to engage it. And in our culture right now, this is the very thing that will lead to healing. And no one's doing it. Confession, and it's not in just how sorry are you, and are you really sorry? It is all about receiving the forgiveness of God. That's where the faith comes in. It's who's more sorry, Judas or Peter? Doesn't matter. Judas kills himself because he doesn't have faith. Peter receives forgiveness. So the beauty of confessing is not, are you really sorry? It's, I'm kind of sorry. I'm really sorry. But the real work of confession and absolution is then believing and receiving the forgiveness of God. That's where the faith is. That's where the life changes. That's where you start to be changed. So this is really powerful. Maybe you didn't know that. So let's say it together, and when we do it, you engage. We say, we have sinned. You can engage in your brain. I have sinned. I recognize I am not living up to the standard of the law. So engage it that way. All right, here we go. Let's say it together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ. And by his authority, I speak his words to you. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, it's by your Holy Spirit we can believe and rest in that. Would you give us rest right now that we are forgiven? For the sake of Jesus Christ, who was all loving, who defeated all evil by his works for us. We rest in that. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's give thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do our psalm reading for today. Sorry, I thought we were going into singing all of a sudden.
I know, you got scared.
I was like, what's going on? So our psalm for today is Psalm 65, found on page 274. Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Lord, bring us into your joyful presence today. I ask, Lord, that you drown out the world's voice of fear and anxiety, and that you exchange it with shouts of joy. For you are God of heaven and earth, and nothing is too great or too terrible for you. You overwhelm death with life. And Lord, I ask that right now you overwhelm our fear with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, our first reading for today is Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13 on page 357. Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it spring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Then we'll continue in our preaching series in Romans. So we'll go to Romans chapter 8, and we will be reading verse 12 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 17 on page 550. And while you're finding it, Romans 8 is one of the, it's a great chapter. I could probably preach on it for several months alone. So if you're ever looking for something to read, Romans chapter 8, even 7 to 8 is really great for a couple reasons, but I'll read this section and then we'll tell you why it's so great. Chapter 8, verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. It's the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
So we are in a season of Pentecost, so it's all about the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus ascends, 40 days later at Pentecost, he sends the promised Holy Spirit. And so we are in this section with Paul, and we're going through the gift that keeps on giving, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we just keep looking at it as a gift and opening up different facets, aspects to it. And so today, the aspect we're looking at is you are in the family of God now. Like, you are now in the family, so it changes everything. And so we're going to break that down. How does it change everything? Well, first, we're going to talk about how you're incorporated into the family by faith. What you get is a new life, but then also you have a home, a new home to operate in and live in, a new father, and there's a future for you with this family. So we'll break that down, but it's good news. Mm-hmm. So let's begin. Do you want to talk first?
Sure.
I already talked. Talk second.
I'm just really impressed with how somehow it's lined up that this reading is the companion reading for the Galatians thing that we just read, chapter 4. So if you went to our Bible study this week, this should be somewhat familiar to you. But if not, I'm glad you're here so you can hear it.
Yeah.
Because it's great. So if we look at the first verse, or the first two really, 12 and 13. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And this is something that we were working through, but we are debtors. We start off as debtors to sin. The law is constantly condemning us, saying you don't have enough, which is what we've been working through. But now, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, with what Christ has done for us, we've now switched from law to gospel. We're now debtors to a God who gives us good gifts. And as we, I don't know if you caught in our Isaiah reading, or no, it was in the Psalm reading, where it says, the rain comes from heaven, but does not return. We have a God, we have a Father, who gives us good gifts without any expectations of what we're going to do with them, or how we're going to use them, or if we're going to pay him back with interest. We are debtors to a good giver.
Right, and that's why Paul is contrasting it with, we're debtors to not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, because your whole experience in life and my whole experience is that we have to pay back everything. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if you're in a crippling amount of debt. Don't, I'm joking. You're not. Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know about it, because as we know, and the Bible even says, the debtor is a slave to the lender. That's just the way it works. So if you owe money, you're a slave. You have to pay it back. Sometimes you have to do what they say. And that's the language that we are freed from, is that, yeah, you might be in debt money monetarily or some other way, but spiritually now, you are free. You are no longer having to apply that same principle of, when Paul says the flesh, he's talking about the sinfulness, not the flesh that Jesus took on to die for us. The flesh isn't bad in itself. It's the sin that makes and corrupts the flesh.
It's the $2 word that Lowry used.
Well,
what?
Concupiscence.
Concupiscence. Oh. Concupiscence is the proof that you have these thoughts because there's sin in you.
Yes.
Little old lady drops the money. Your first thought is, hey, how much for me? Why am I like that? I like old ladies. I mean, I'm helpful. Not. Anyway, that's concupiscence.
Moving on.
Even what you're thinking about me right now is concupiscence. But there's sin in the flesh. So the flesh is not bad in itself, but it's the sin. And Paul talked about that in chapter 7. The struggle is real. And there's a great gift now because we've been brought into a relationship with God through grace by faith. And so you are no longer debtors to live according to the flesh. But as we continue this conversation, here's what's hitting me. When I say live according to the flesh, what I'm starting to realize he's saying is you apply the idea that that you get what you deserve. If you do good, you get good. That is an idea of the flesh. So when I've read these passages throughout my life, and we'll get to it, because the second part is, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if you live by the Spirit, But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And the first way you hear that is, I got to figure out how to kill the deeds of the body. Right? If you, let me read it again. Don't you think this? I need eye contact. Yeah. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Doesn't that sound like I'm going to say, now I should say to you, so figure out how to choke out all those bad habits and all those bad things you do. Because you need to live by the Spirit now. And that is exactly what Paul is saying you're free from. That's a fleshly way to think about your new status. You're trying to think it out, figure it out according to the flesh. Those are the rules of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better figure out how to kill this bad thing and live it. But that's not the rules. That's not how God's kingdom and his family works at all.
Because those are demands that we cannot meet. But we don't have demands as children of God. We have a gift. And the gift is the Holy Spirit. And the gift kills the demands. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, the Spirit that is in you is working for you. It is killing and drowning out the sinful nature in you every day. It is working on your behalf.
And that's the point of God giving us the Spirit. He didn't give us the Spirit so he could be like, I'm just going to be with you to watch you when you do things right. I'm going to make you, give you a little dopamine boost. Ooh, good job. Ooh, no. He's like, I'm working in you.
Yeah.
So we'll use the babies that are about to be born, the babies that are already born, the little children. You're working for those children's benefit. You're not saying, well, you're a little creature. I'm going to see if you can learn how to put to death the deeds of being spoiled. I'm going to watch. No, you're working on behalf of the child and with them to lead them into good things that you give them. Because we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And the way the flesh always reads the fruit of the Spirit is, I got to become more loving. I got to become more joyous. I got to be more self-controlled, because no one has self-control. So I know that one could hurt you. And I got to be kind and patient. And you're reading it wrong. You're reading it according to the flesh, because it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of a super spiritual dude who's trying really hard and better mm-hmm. than you. So he gets joy because he's... If that was the case, I would be reading my Bible all day. I'd never talk to people, and I'd get all this fruit for myself. But it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not our fruit. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not based on works. And when you are born again, when you are brought into this family, you're just like a child, where the promise is God is going to take care of you. You are not living alone anymore. It's not up to you to get peace and love and joy and patience and faithfulness and goodness and kindness, self-control. That's not up to you. These are gifts for you to walk into.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? This is good news, because I've spent a lot of my life trying to create these things to give to God. And God's like, I don't need them. I'm the God of love and joy. Like, okay, thanks. And he throws it away, because it's like, it's like a child giving me lint to help pay my mortgage. Here's some lint. It's everything I have. And I'm like, oh, thanks. I throw it away immediately. I'm like, I just love you. And that could devastate you once you realize that, or it could set you free. And Paul's trying to say, we're not debtors to the flesh. And earlier in this chapter, he says, set your mind on spiritual things. Again, it means grow into this passive work of God. We receive it. Mm-hmm. You are a child, and that's why he uses this language.
When I used to read this section right here, it made life seem like God was setting up a series of challenges that I had to overcome. I had to put to death all of these deeds of the flesh, and I have to do it. And everything in life is just the next challenge. And now I'm realizing, oh, that's the opposite of what's being stated here. The world and the devil, they're putting up challenges. God is saying, oh, I'm just inviting you into my house. I have good things for you, and I'm going to give them to you freely. What I have for you is an invitation to actually enjoy life, not fear it.
Well, that's where we get to verse 14. I mean, you got to read it to believe it. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, daughters of God. This is a Spirit leading. You're not leading and then going, hey, Spirit, check it out. The Spirit's leading you, just like we lead children into playtime and nap time and brush your teeth time. And for their good, we are led by the Holy Spirit. And you know where he's leading us? This is so cool. He's leading us first to be children, but he's leading us into freedom. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So where the Holy Spirit is leading you and leading me is into childlike faith, where we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who's given us the promise, like all parents would give the promise to children to love them and care for them. But how many parents keep that promise perfectly and never once mess up and act out of selfishness or neglect or on accident? Like, they don't mean to, but they hurt you. Every parent. But we have a Heavenly Father who says, I have a place for you to live on this earth right now where you know someone's looking out for you, someone perfect, all power, all love, sent his son, took on the flesh, saved you in the flesh, saved you in the spirit. You have that right now. I mean, amen. But this is what the Spirit's leading us into explore. And of course, we always think, like, I got to grow. I got to become more better. got to be more better. But you know, do you ever think about what it's like to have a parent? What do parents want for their kids? There's times where we want our kids to do their homework, and there's, but you know what I also like? I like it when they play. I like it when they play together. I like it when they're being creative in all their different ways. I like it when they're laughing and having joy. I like it when they learn lessons sometimes, but really start to think, like, you know, you have a God who loves you and he wants to see you enjoy the things he's created, but you can only enjoy them by faith in him. You can only really enjoy him by them by faith, by saying, Holy Spirit, all I can do is trust that you're going to make this day work out. All I can do is trust I'm not going to get the COVID. All I can do is trust. But see, your mind will go, well, now you're testing God, and now you're doing this. And okay, I'm not thinking according to the flesh. I'm going to be wise. Be wise. Do whatever you have to do. But it's never enough. That's the thing, that we're not debtors to the flesh. It's, you live according to the flesh, it'll never be enough. Oh, you feel good about today and the food you have on your table, but you know there's a day coming where you may not have food. They may just run out. There's always something if you live according to the flesh. We've been invited to go, okay, I'm a son and child of God. I'm going to trust you. All I can do is put my faith and go, Lord, you care for me, right? Yes. Okay. And he's inviting us into a home where you're cared for, you have a good father, you have a family, a bunch of other people who are trying to live by faith, and the Holy Spirit's working on all of us. So there's moments where you see the love of God in one of us, and other moments where you're like, that was a miracle because that guy's a jerk now. Right. It's working. The Holy Spirit's working. That's why we see inconsistencies. Because the Holy Spirit's working. He calls us to a meal. He says, I'm present with you. Mm-hmm. I'm here with you. That's the benefits of living at home. He'll provide for us. You're in the family. And so he says, I don't want you to go back to living in fear. But that's all, I mean, apart from my faith in Christ, I don't know where I would feel good right now. My investments, my job. I guess I'd feel good about my relationship with my wife, but I don't know how that would be apart from God. What would I feel good about right now? Can't read the news. I can't anyway. Maybe you can. You're all so calloused. He says, I called you into freedom. So stop trying to apply the way you have to apply to work and all these things here. Don't apply that to God. You've been called to a place, to a home, to a family where he does all the work, and you have to just trust and go, I trust you're working in me, Lord.
Thanks. Josh asked me a question this week, which I really appreciated.
It's full of questions, that guy.
So, as some of you know, we are having Mabel this Tuesday. And
surprise!
Josh asked me, are you scared? Which is a great question. And I said no. And he was like, are you just saying that or do you really mean it? Which was great. It was a great follow-up question.
Yes.
And I said, yes, I really do mean it. And
yes, I'm just saying it.
Yes, I'm just saying it. And yes, I really mean it. What I have, like, walking through this, realizing what the Spirit has given us is he's given us the promise that God really is with us. And so I can walk into the responsibility of having a child during a pandemic with joy instead of fear, because I know I have the God of the universe with me. And that's not like an easy thing that is always accessible or I always have in me. But as we move forward, as the Spirit is putting to death things in me, I get more and more pockets of that where I can actually start to rest and go, oh, Mabel's a gift. It's not the new trial or challenge that I have to conquer or try to prove to God that I'm worth having this. She's a gift that God has clearly given to us, that she is a miracle, and I want to actually enjoy her and not spend most of my time freaking out. But the only way I can do that is by resting in the reality that God really is with me in this. Mm-hmm. And so as we work through all of our situations, through our jobs, through our families, through our friendships, through just going to the store, we can start to recognize all of these things that are in our lives as gifts from God, despite the surrounding circumstances. And as these circumstances start to crush us, the Spirit in us cries out on our behalf and says, Abba, Father, Daddy, are you there? And that whimper and cry drowns out all of the demands of the world. And God says, I'm here. I'm with you. You have me. And so you can go through anything because you have a God who's with you and loves you. And you can actually go through it with joy instead of fear.
Abba, Father, it's the one thing that cuts through all noise. Daddy! If you have a kid, someone says, Daddy, you look. You probably have cargo shorts on, but you look. It's a joke they make about us older guys, Byron. Abba, Father, I love it because it's the first word most babies learn. Dada. It's the simplest word. It's not rocket science. It's not the gauntlet. And the promise, I just want to reiterate, is God is with you. When we settle down by faith, you start to think of all the things that could go wrong. God is with you. Here's what we know now. This is where he gives you peace and love and joy. And it has to be a work of God where you just receive it. Mm-hmm. And I daily go through this Abba Father, because I know myself and I'm so tempted. I'm not tempted to like the big sins. I'm so holy. I'm always tempted actually to the biggest sin, which is I'm always tempted to feel and live like an orphan. That's what I'm tempted to do. I'm tempted to start the day and go, all right, God, you're here. Good. Now here's what I got to do. And I got to do this. And I got to do that. And I got to stay alive. And I got to solve the problems of a broken world. I got to make a statement. I got to do this. I got to be good. And that's just orphan living. And you're just going to, throughout the day, you live like that. You're scrounging for scraps. And then you just want to be distracted with anything. Orphans very rarely build something great. Orphans just try to survive. The only orphan really story I know is Albert from Little House on the Prairie. And until you're adopted, you're an orphan scrounging. I am so tempted to live like that for some reason. I don't know why. So I have to, in my weakness, I'm weak like that. So I have to say, Lord, I bind and gag up that spirit of the orphan. And I ask for the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry out, Abba, Father. I say that every day. It's not a religious thing. It's like a drink of water for my soul, because I have to put myself back into this. Like, God's going to be with me. If everything goes great or if everything goes bad, God's going to be with me. And that's life. This is my family. This is my dad. This is my future. I have to say it. And I say, Holy Spirit, you have given me the spirit of adoption. And by this spirit, I'm crying out, Daddy. And then I pray all the most ridiculous things. Dad, I pray that I have a good day with Matt. I pray that you'd give me, provide for this. I pray for that. I pray for healing for this. And I pray for everything. Like a kid asking for ice cream before dinner. It doesn't matter. I get to. I'm his kid. It changes. You're not trying to overthink it and live like an orphan. Well, I'm going to present my PowerPoint to you, Lord, on how I would like the day to go, and we'll see. No. Dad, please. I want to stay overnight. No. You're free. Well, the best thing, too, is something the world doesn't have to offer you with much confidence is a future. Right? Not to bum you out, but that's what's so beautiful. The world's always been like that. In Paul's day, it was like that, and it was even worse. Nero was, well, I'll give you a history lesson later, but it was worse. And so he says, look, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit is testifying, like, you're here wanting to be around God's word because the Spirit is saying, hey, this would be really good. This will give you life. And you're doing it by God's grace. Thanks be to God. But he says, if you're the children of God, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So our future is one of resurrection. Our future is one of the world we all long for, the world that the world is asking for right now, where everybody's hearts is so loving and kind and no one's angry. Except if you're wrong, then we can be angry. They're playing all these games looking for what? A new creation, but without God. So whatever they build it on, sooner or later they turn on themselves, and whatever structures you build, turn on yourselves, because the person who's leading it, oh, they've sinned. It always does this. You know why the church lasts forever? Because we attack each other and we do all that stuff too, but it's built on Christ and he's perfect. And so our future is built on Christ, who is perfect. So yeah, we mess it up, and you can get mad at the church, but look at every other movement. We all cannibalize each other sooner or later. Fact. That's why we are built on Christ, and God is our Father. And Christ has done all the work, and he's applied it to us, and we receive it by faith. And he says this thing here. Here's another tricky phrase, and this is the end of the Bible reading. Probably not the speaking. Don't want to mislead anybody, because that's an old pastor trick. Oh, we'll wrap it up here. I don't mean that at all. It says, we're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, which is a big deal, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. What do you think? Uh-oh. Provided we suffer with him. I know what I have always thought. I need to be a martyr. I need to do super spiritual things to suffer like Christ. Wrong. That's not what he says here. Provided. So it sounds like you'll get this if you suffer with Christ. Mm-hmm. And we immediately think, suffer in this way? Suffer the way Paul did? Suffer? Here's what it means. You live right now with salvation. You've been recreated, but you still live in a body and in a world and fighting with a mind that has sin. The struggle is what Christ came for. He came to earth to fight and struggle with sin. He defeated it so that we are free now. And so the suffering that you and I endure right now, it might be you die as a martyr. It might be, or it might be you live a really nice life and you love a few people around you, but you suffered with the effects of death and money and the law, like, and brokenheartedness
and a pandemic.
Like, you lived your life in a world where you could die. That's the suffering. So provided we suffer with him, so as we live here knowing things aren't right, trusting him, that's our suffering, but he is with us, with him. And then what does he say? That we may also be glorified with him. He's gonna be with you in the bad right now, and he's gonna be with you in the good, in the new creation our hearts were created for and long for, but that cannot be taken by force apart from Christ. So hope in Christ. This is the family you're a part of, that he walks with you. The way we access this gift, Matt said it, I think, you want to access the gift of the Holy Spirit and you want to start living with the peace that he has. I know you want to know what to do, because that's the flesh. What do I do? How do I dominate this and win this game? Here's how. You whimper, "Daddy." There it is. That's how you win. "Dad, help. Dad." And you embrace it by faith. That's how you do it. "Dad, would you forgive me for the sake of your sin?" "Yeah, I forgive you. I realize I'm sinful. Oh, I'm guilty. People are mean to me. I keep waiting for people to be right to me. It never happens." "I know, I'll be right to you. Keep waiting to be repaid things people have stolen." "I know, I'll repay it. I'm with you now in the suffering and in the glory." So this is what the invitation, and what I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. He's working. He's not just watching. Mm-hmm. He's not waiting for you to unlock him. He is unlocked and moving in you. You just say, "Abba, Father. Holy Spirit, keep working on me. Don't think according to the flesh." I just feel like saying this one more time, because as I say the Holy Spirit stuff, you start to think, okay, so I got to work more. Here's the beauty of this adoption. Yes, stop doing bad things. Stop wasting your time. Stop listening to the world more than listening to your Father. All wrong. You're all very bad. But here's the beauty of the Holy Spirit working in you. You get to be forgiven. So that's the Holy Spirit working in you. When you recognize how incredibly sinful and inconsistent you actually are, it's way beyond what you can handle. It would crush you if you knew how bad you were. God does. And so the Holy Spirit allows us to go, "Oh, I see it now for a second. Forgive me." Right. So that you can keep working on it and growing. But it's not for your salvation. It's for your benefit. It's for your growth. It's for your freedom. That we're the people who can see our inconsistency, can see our hatred for people, can see our whatever, everything, all of our sin. And we can go, "God, will you forgive me?" And he says, "Yes." Because that forgiveness allows me another day to move in the right direction under his guidance. And without that forgiveness, you're just stuck trying to do it on your own. You don't have enough experience. You don't know everything. You can't see everything. How are you ever going to get better? You are where you are. You're limited. But the Holy Spirit isn't. And he's working in you. So let it happen by saying, "Work, Holy Spirit, work." And when you see how inconsistent and sinful you are, "Lord, will you forgive me?" The hard work is to believe it. And by his help, you will. And rest in it. It's humiliating. I just want to let you know, it's humiliating. If you haven't felt humiliated, like, "I know I'm probably going to do this sin again, Lord. You just want to hate yourself." And that's where the Holy Spirit says, "No, I died for you. Don't hate yourself. I'm not, oh, good, you hate yourself. What a great Christian." No, that's absurd. Trust me, I am your dad. You're in my family. You're in my house. I'll get you going on the chores in the house so you can love people. Trust me. We'll move you to a big boy bed soon. Don't worry. I don't know why I said that. I don't remember. You don't remember? That's why. You're in God's family now. Anything else?
And now in this family, you are invited to walk forward in faith instead of fear.
Amen.
And that you can start to enjoy the gifts that the Father is giving you. That's the fun part. There's actual joy and fun by being involved in God's family.
Yes. Amen. I have to say it's true most of the time.
Yeah.
I just get weird sometimes.
Yeah.
But the Lord forgives us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's pray. God, thanks for being our dad. I love you. And I know my friends and my family here, we love you. And I'm so thankful that you meet us where we're at. You can interact with all your kids for the best in different ways. You say no to some of us because you know you're working on something, and yes to others because for whatever reason, you're in charge and you're our dad and you love us. And I pray, Holy Spirit, apply the work of Christ. All that desire for perfection is located in you. You are perfect. You did it and you share it with us. All we can do is praise you and thank you for this freedom and help us to grow into it. We need to work the muscle of believing it every day and just trusting. It's so hard, Lord, but you have mercy on us and you hear our prayers. I pray that you'd pour out all the fruits of the Spirit on our people now. It doesn't matter if we're in a pandemic or we're in the best days of the universe. It doesn't matter. Being unsatisfied and scared would happen no matter what. We never have enough. So I pray you pour out all your gifts on us as we just trust you, that we try it this week and we can report the uptick of joy and peace and love and self-control, not to our credit, but to yours. We love you, Father. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. It's all yours, Jesus, and you share it with us. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, let's confess part of our, again, why Matt and I love doing the confession now is because it's a time to say out loud what it is we believe. And if we can chant at soccer games, different creeds, we can chant and say our creeds in church. That's the secondary reason.
So, Christian, what is it that you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And as in your journey with Christianity, it's been a great benefit to me to, in the last couple of years, I'll use the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer to pray them in the morning or in the afternoon or whenever. If you don't know what to pray, read them, memorize them over time, and then they will actually help you to pray. You know, you get to like, give us this day our daily bread, and you're like, oh God, and it gives you a chance to do it, but it's really beautiful and a way to confess and to engage in prayer and in relationship with God. Before we do that, I want to remind you, thank you for giving. We give back to God because everything we have is a gift, and we give to his word on earth. Like, the most important thing you could give to is the preaching of God's word, because it's the only thing that changes hearts, that God promises through hearing. Faith comes through hearing. And so when you give to New City Church, you're giving to the work of God, and God reorients money for you, starts to take away its idolatrous nature that's in all of us, and starts to put it back in its right place. That's right. God provides for me. He's a good father. So that's one way we worship God. And then we take advantage of being children by praying. So again, we have the prayer board. Anything, there's nothing off limits to pray for. Because even if it's awful, God's a good dad. And he's like, nope, not doing that. So, but you can still ask. So we pray for one another. And today I wanted to kind of everybody thinking together, we're praying for Matt and Christina and for baby Mabel. She's about to enter the outside world outside of her mom. She's already been here for a while, but we're gonna get to see her. So I just wanted to pray for them. And so if you just join me in your heart and your mind, asking our Heavenly Father to bless. Do you want her to come up? Or does she not? You don't have to. Whatever's comfortable. Whatever you guys want. You guys work it out.
People at home want to see you.
Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Matt and Christina. We thank you for the many works of the Holy Spirit in their life, the abundance of fruit that they've been able to walk through. And this is one, Lord, we give thanks for. And I can't believe we're at the moment where we are potentially a day or two away from the birth of Mabel. And we give you thanks. We praise you for being the author of all life, for giving us these good gifts. There's no reason. We don't deserve it. So we thank you. And we offer them up to you, Lord. We pray to you. Would you bless and protect Christina? Would you give her health? We ask that there'd be no complications to the birth. Pray that you'd bless them. Almighty God, you are an ever-present help in trouble. We humbly ask you to assist Christina in her labor and bring forth in safety Mabel, the child she's delivering. Sustain and comfort her and Matt with your all-sufficient grace in Christ, that they may trust in you and your love and not be afraid, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Bless them. In Jesus' name, and all of us say together, we say amen. We all say together,
amen. Amen.
Have a good pregnancy. Or not pregnancy, birth. Good delivery. Well, and because of all the rules and everything, I know it's like a bummer, but we adjust. So you guys will be in the hospital, but you can't come and go, and we can't come and see or anything. So, and then, of course, afterwards, we'll just, everyone, I'm just saying, we're all, I know you will, but we'll just be sensitive to what they need during the pandemic. Like, just be sensitive and aware as we figure out how to help them and make meals. But we'll talk about that in the coming weeks with how we can love them. But it's pretty exciting. So, and it's encouraging to all of us who are also praying for babies, that God gives babies at the right time. So, well, thanks for letting me pray for that. That was important to me today. And what we want to do now is gather around the meal that Christ has prepared for us now that we're part of the family. And so he takes the Passover. He says, I freed you from, it's a cool connection. God literally freed his people from slavery in Egypt and brought them to freedom. That's why Paul says, I'm bringing you out of slavery of fear. He says, I'm feeding you with manna, bread from heaven. And now Christ takes that meal and he says, now I am the lamb who was slain. I am the lamb, the blood on the doorpost where the angel of death goes over. I protect you. I feed you in the wilderness. I even make it so, do you remember in the story where it says they walked for 40 years and their shoes never ran out? That's a great one. Because it's like, oh, God could keep some, I don't know, 10,000 BC shoes together for 40 years as they walk through the desert. Then I think he can take care of my car. I don't know, but it's encouraging. And so Jesus sets up this meal and says, I am the bread of life. Man does not live by bread alone. Men and women do not live by bread alone. They don't live by money alone. They don't live by being liked or not liked. They don't live by anything. They live by my word. And my word is here now. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. And so at the Lord's Supper, he says, I want you to have my word. I want you to hear it, gather around it, and I want you to know that I'm present with you. Because I can do that kind of thing. I can be God and man at the same time, and I can be present in things. And he says, I'm going to be present in these things. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to be present in water baptism. I'm going to be present in the preaching of the word. And in the word, I'm going to be present in the Lord's Supper. He just chose to do it. And we are, by definition, the people of faith. We believe it. We rest in it. And so as we approach it, we rest in the fact that Christ is with us. We are not alone. So on the night that he's betrayed, he takes the bread, having broken it, he gives thanks for it. He says, this is my body given for you. And in the same way, he takes the cup, he pours it, he says, this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. And he'll instruct us to take and eat of it. As we prepare our hearts to receive it, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. He also gave us a prayer to pray together before we eat. And that's kind of cool too. He gave us a meal and a prayer. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat of it. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ has forgiven you all your sins. Go in peace. Lord, would you work this presence in our heart and our minds that we might be people who receive peace from you, receive joy and love from you. Thank you for being with us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you and smile and give you his peace now and forever. Amen.
Amen.